and Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Thank you for coming to the service today. We appreciate you coming, and we thank you for those that will be listening wherever you may be today. That the Lord will bless you as we listen to the message on this Let the Bible Speak today. Let's have a word of prayer to begin with. Our Heavenly Father, we bow in thy presence. We thank thee that thou art the great head of the church, King of kings and Lord of lords. We thank thee for our Savior today. We thank thee that this day we can come to thee, and knowing that thou wilt meet with us. For those that seek thee, thou wilt be found. Bless with thy Spirit. Bless thy word. Take thy word and write it on our hearts that we might love thee. Make thy word a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. We want to read today from Luke chapter 12. And we're reading verses 13 to 21. Luke chapter 12 and verse 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed, beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Amen. And we know the Lord will bless his word to our hearts today. We're going to sing our second hymn. Days are filled with sorrow and care. Hearts are lonely and drear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. And Jesus is very near. The Lord Jesus Christ, in Luke chapter 12, is speaking to a great multitude of people. That includes the disciples, those who believed in Christ and those who did not believe in Christ. There was a great multitude listening. But in the scriptures, when you and I read them today, Luke chapter 12 can speak to us as well. And there's a message not only for the disciples and for the crowd, but there's a message for you and I. Luke chapter 12 and the verses 2 and 3, the Lord Jesus talks there and in his message that there's a day coming when all the hidden secrets will be revealed. Everything that's hidden. Now we live in a modern day and age when we've got videos and we can take a video even in the darkness of night, infrared videos, and we can show the thief, we can show what's happening. One day the Lord will reveal all things that have been hidden for all to see. And the Lord Jesus goes on to speak in verses 4 and 5, and he tells the crowd of there would be times of persecution. Now, he's talking mainly to the Jewish people here. There'll be times of persecution for the Jews in days to come. Israel will be a persecuted nation, and the people there fear death. He's also talking to God's children, the church, those that believe in Christ. And the church will be persecuted because of their love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, you're not to fear death, but you're to fear him which after he hath killed, hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. So what is he teaching here? He's teaching that there should be a great fear of God and a reverence for God. In the day and age we live in today, we see very little fear of God and very little reverence. It comes down to verses 6 and 7. And he gives an illustration here And sometimes we just don't get the hold of this illustration, but he said that five sparrows were sold for 2 farthings. Over in Matthew chapter 10, verse 29, it says 2 sparrows are sold for 1 farthing. So the custom was, if you went along and you bought 4 sparrows, then the salesman would throw an extra sparrow in and he would say it's of no value. What's the Lord teaching here? The Lord is teaching here that you and I are of great value. Sadly today, many people feel they're of no value in this world, and therefore they take themselves away. But you and I are of great value. You and I are made in God's image, and He loves you, and He cares for you, and He has plans for you. He has plans today for your life, and He has plans tomorrow for you and in the future. And He wants you to love Him and know Him. And then He goes on in verse 8 to say that we should confess Him. If there's something very important in your mind, you talk about it. Some people talk about politics. Some people talk about business and money and the stock market. These things are important to them, their finances. Some talk about the COVID and the health and these things. But how little we talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. Whosoever shall confess me before men. If we love the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll speak about Him. We know Him as our Savior. We're part of His family. Do we talk about God? Do we talk about peace? Do we talk about forgiveness? Today, some would even mock God. Some would even speak against God with oaths and curses. But God said, if we confess Him, love Him, we're His children. Because one day in verse 10 it tells us, whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven, but unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. He said there's going to be a day of division. It's going to be a day when those that have accepted Christ as their Savior, and they've been indwelt by the Holy Spirit, they'll be divided from those that have rejected Christ as their Savior, and have not been dwelt by the Holy Spirit, but indwelt with sin and the spirit of wrong. I ask you today, do you know that forgiveness that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you begun the journey toward heaven and home? Guided day by the Spirit of the Lord, peace with God, sins forgiven? Or are you still rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, still in your sin? What a Savior we have to recommend today. But as the Lord is speaking here, He's got His, as we would say, His points, and He's going through this message. There's a man interrupts the meeting. It says in verse 13, and one of the company said unto him, Master, he interrupts. Something here about dividing an inheritance with his brother. Now, did the Lord Jesus Christ come to deal with finances and inheritances? No. It's a solicitor you need for that job. What did the Lord Jesus Christ come into the world to do? Matthew tells us, they shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. What a Savior. And the Lord Jesus Christ begins to talk to this man, and my, when we read the scriptures, we find so much that is so simple to understand. He speaks to the man and he begins to tell him a story. Begins to give him an illustration of a farmer. A successful farmer. This man that he's talking to had not got his priorities right. He was more interested in his inheritance that he was having problems with than he was in eternal life. He was more interested in sorting the problem out with his brother than he was sorting the problem out with himself and with sin. By the way, this man understood his business. It said he was a good farmer. He was a rich farmer. It said that his ground brought forth plentifully. He knew his job well. He understood farming. Yes, this had been the best year. Plentifully. His crops were great. My God had blessed him. The creation of God's hand and the blessing of God was upon him. You look down the valley and you can see acres of wheat, barley, corn, the maize. Some would say, you know, he'd be getting at least 4 ton for the acre. Over here in Ireland, we talk sometimes about a farmer having a good crop of lambs or a good crop of calves. This man, it was a great year for him. The vines were heavy. They had to be staked. Yeah, the olives. He was looking forward to a tremendous harvest. Everything had gone so well. The people in the district, they noticed the great prosperity that he had gone into. But if we take a moment and we'll go up to his office door and we listen at the door of the office and hear what he's saying, we hear a voice, we hear him talking. And he says, "What shall I do? I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and all my goods." Progress. Plenty. Progress. Now let me tell you, there's no harm in pulling down an old barn and building a better one. No harm in going out into the field and bringing in a good crop of wheat or barley or corn. No harm in rearing, as we say, a good crop of lambs. There's nothing wrong with that. It'd be a terrible thing to leave the wheat in the field to rot. It'd be a terrible thing to not care for the lambs. And this man's progress was so great that he says, I'll have to pull down the old barns and build greater. There's no harm in that. But then he makes a mistake. In verse 9 he says, "I will say to my soul, soul, thus much goods laid up for many years, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." The soul, friend, doesn't live on corn and wheat and harvesting. Soul doesn't live on the farming, the finances of life. The soul doesn't prosper on material things. Your soul and my soul is something that's spiritual. The soul is made for God. That soul of yours is made for the indwelling Spirit of God. Your soul needs the Lord Jesus Christ. This man's priorities are wrong. No, there was no problem with bringing in a nice crop. There was no problem with a great harvest. But he's with the earthly and not the heavenly. He's caught with the material and not the spiritual. He's caught up with self and not the Savior. His priorities are wrong. No concern for eternity. No concern for heaven or hell. No thought of even dying. He understood his business well. And as he's sitting at the table, we can hear him talking over his problem. And then there's a voice, an unexpected voice comes. Verse 20, "But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." What did other people think of him? Well, the bank manager would say he's an investor. He has invested in his business. He's a success. His wife, she would say he's a great husband. He's kind. He's faithful. He's hardworking. His children, they wanted to be like their father. The workers that worked on the farm and on the business with him, they said he's successful, but you know, he's not greedy. He's kind. He's generous. God said, "Thou fool." An unexpected voice comes. An unexpected call. Going to be called away from his family, his farm, his wealth, his prosperity, his finances. That harvest that he looked upon that was so plentiful, he never would reap it. He never would build a new barn. He was being called away. Well, yes, he understood his farming. Yes, this voice came, an unexpected voice came to him. And he was unprepared. He wasn't ready. He wasn't ready to die, friend. He wasn't ready to leave all behind. He was prepared to live. He had food, he had clothes, he had friends, he had property, he had wealth. But he had made no preparation for eternity. Had he asked for sins forgiven? Did he have a Savior? No, we're not told that. His priorities were wrong. Oh, there's so many today. And they've been a success in life. They've prospered well. They've done so well. But but they've no preparation for eternity. They've maybe even an insurance policy for dying. They've maybe their grave, their plot bought and paid for. But where will you be in eternity? Do you have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior today? You see, for the child of God, this is wonderful because the Lord Jesus Christ says to His children, to those that are born again, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. And God's children can say, like the psalmist David, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. For the child of God, the scripture explains that death is but a sleep. That night, that rich farmer wrestled and he fought with the last enemy, death. A fearful battle for the ungodly. For those that have rejected the Savior, no friend, no guide, no one to care for you through the shadows and through the struggle. For those that never confessed that they love Christ. For those that rejected Him. It's the dividing of the soul and body, and the body and the soul struggle together. And the soul leaves the body, and the body's left behind for burial. But the soul lives on. Friend, death's not the end. That soul of yours and that soul of mine either goes out into the glories of heaven or to the awful place of torment called hell. Lazarus, when he died, it tells us that the angels carried him home. Carried him home to Abram's bosom. Or, for you will it be, when death comes, depart from me, I never knew you. Oh, this man underestimated the length of time that he was going to live. He says in verse 19, I have many years, I have plenty. I have wealth, I have prosperity, I have plenty, I'm going to build, I'm going to do lots of things. And he only had that day, that night. You and I expect to live on to old age. Yes, you may. But lately, death has come to many. We've had the sorrows of illness, death, accidents, tragedies. The suddenness, the pain. Friend, I ask you, are you prepared? Why not make your preparation now? You don't have to wait till you're any older. What does it say in Romans chapter 10, verse 13? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That call can be now. Don't put it off. Don't put it off. Your salvation, your home in heaven, it's so important. Get that as your number one priority. The old man in Scotland was sitting at his breakfast. And he turned to his wife and he said, hi dear, would you get me a little bit more of that porridge? And she rose up to get the porridge for him. And then he says, hold on a moment, just a moment, wait. My master's calling for me. I've had breakfast with you. But I'm going to have supper with my Lord. That was his last words. Oh, I see the death here in this farm. I see the tragedy. I see the sorrow. And the family gathers around and they say, quick, get the undertaker. Get the undertaker to deal with this rich farmer's body. The husband, the father. But friend, he was only a tenant. He was only a tenant. You and I are only tenants in this old world. The time comes when we've got to leave it. We leave everything behind for someone else. Oh my, it says, then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? All that you've provided, someone else. Oh, quick, get the undertaker. Get the minister. Get the religious man to say a few prayers. And get something. Prepare the grave. Get a nice coffin. Get the food for the visitors coming. And then eventually the funeral procession is leaving the house and there's the four black horses. And the black horses are taking the glass carriage and the coffins there. And the family follow behind in tears and the relatives and the friends are all walking down in the grave. And the neighbors and the friends are all gathered out. There's such a great crowd. The man at the side of the grave says he was a good man. He was kind. The man was a success. This man paid good wages. He supported many in the valley here. This man had no enemies. And all this was true. And this is man's conclusion. Man's conclusion was that he was good, kind, generous, and a great, capable farmer. And God's conclusion, friend, God's conclusion was, thou fool. Thou fool. What did God say? God said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Oh, let us each one get our priorities right. There's a heaven to gain. There's a Savior from all sin, if you'd only let him in. Oh, friend, there is an unending heaven. And there is an unending hell. The unending heaven is for the child of God who's born again and as Christ is their Savior. And the unending hell is for those that reject and turn their back upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh my, can I recommend this wonderful Savior? The one who left the glories of heaven and came down to this world that he might live a sinless, spotless, righteous life. And the innocent was condemned as guilty, and they took him and they crucified him in a cruel death. The Lord Jesus Christ, who came into the world to save sinners, this is his priority. And this is a sinner's priority, that we must be saved and born again. And the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Today he's building his church. Let's pray. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.